We're going to be starting where we left off last week, in middle of chapter 52. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal started off basing it on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai says, that a person who stays up at night and walks outside alone and just doesn't think about anything, Mefana Liboy Levatole, he allows his heart, you know, to go nowhere, sort of, that person, Hareze Mischayev ben Afshoy, that person is taking his life into his hands, like he's almost like committing suicide. Rabbeinu Zal started this chapter by discussing a topic that's discussed in Sifrei Machshava, books that speak about Hashkafa, where the question is raised, is the world Chiyuv HaMetzius or Efshori HaMetzius? Meaning, was Hashem compelled to create the world? Did Hashem have to create the world? Or better yet, putting it much better, did the world have to exist? And Rabbeinu Zal says that there are apikursim, there are philosophers and thinkers that believe that the world is mechuyev hametzius, that the world had to exist. It always existed, it had to exist, there was no other choice. And Rabbeinu Zal says that they're definitely wrong. The world did not have to exist, meaning that Hashem did not have to create the world. In the beginning, there was only Hashem. And Hashem did not have to create the world at all. He could have created it or not created it. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, what allows these people to make this mistake is that once Hashem decided to create the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, from that point on, the world became Chiyuv HaMetzius. That once Hashem decided to go ahead and create the Jewish nation, He did have to provide the environment, the world, and the different worlds that would support the existence of the Jewish nation. This was the majority of the discussion that we had at the beginning of this chapter on Likutei Moran. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that the main reason and intention that Hashem had in creating the world was for the sake of the Jewish people, so that we should be zeicha to fulfill the will of Hashem and thereby reconnect with our source, reconnect with Hashem. And by us reconnecting with our Creator, by doing that, everything else that was created for us to support us would also be reconnected back to Hashem. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that in order for a Jew to be zeiche, to reconnect with his source, to reconnect with Hashem perfectly, and become part of the oneness of Hashem, meaning thereby becoming part of the Chiyuv HaMetzius, that person now must exist, that could only be accomplished through bitul, which means by the person nullifying and negating themselves, their physical being, their I, and just becoming totally part of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that it's impossible for a Jew to achieve this bitul, to nullify and negate themselves completely, other than through hisbeidedus. And Rabbeinu Zal said, he defined hisbeidedus, that by a person making time, making a set time and a place to be alone with Hashem, and during that time to really pour out their heart to Hashem, to tell Hashem everything of significance that's going on in their life, through that, a person has the ability to eliminate all of their sinful desires, all of their wrong desires, all of their wrong type of character traits, until the person can achieve total bitul, to negate their physicality completely and become totally plugged into Hashem. This is pretty much where we left off in the previous shir, I believe, and we'll continue from there. We're continuing from the beginning of the paragraph where it says, Ach ikar hasbeidedus. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to go into detail to defining what is an example of the ultimate hasbeidedus. Ach ikar hahispoidedus hu balayla. The main time and the best time for a person to have hispoidedus is at night. And here we're referring to midnight. Midnight, or the second half of the night. From midnight, going on to the morning. Bo'eis sheha'olam ponui mitirdas olam hazeh. At a time when the people around where the person is are not involved at all in the hub of what they're usually doing during the day, running around, trying to earn a living, shopping. Ki bayoyim, because during the daytime hours, al yedei sheroitven hoylam achar hoylam azeh, because of the fact that many people are involved in chasing after things in this materialistic world, whether it's working, shopping, going, running, because of all of that movement and motion of people, who mevatel umevalvel esodom milehizdabek ulehikolel bashem yisborach, that blocks a person, it prevents a person, and confuses a person from being able to really attach themselves to Hashem and become part of Hashem, part of the oneness of Hashem. Vafilu imhu biatzmoi enoi torud, and even if the person himself is not involved in any of that, he shut his phone, he disconnected, he detached himself from anything going on in the materialistic world, afal pikein, it doesn't matter. Me'achar sheha'olam trudimoz, because of the fact that the people in the area that the person finds himself, in that city, are involved in materialistic things. They're running around, they're coming and going and running, and the roidfen oz achar havli oylam azeh, and there are people then that are chasing after the things that are not so meaningful in this materialistic world, the vanities of this world. That makes it difficult for a person who would want to attain this bitul, who would want to nullify and negate himself completely to Hashem, that makes it very difficult to accomplish that. So that's one requirement, that it's very much preferred that it should be at night, and nighttime he's talking about here, when everything, or most things, shut down. Now it's interesting that we are living in a time now where, as a result of the invention of electricity and other inventions, most of us, wherever we live, there just about is no nighttime. There's no such thing as things shutting down. I know, for example, I'm privileged to be living in Yerushalayim the past 30 years of my life, and I recall when I first visited Yerushalayim about 45 years ago, at that time, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., most of the stores were closed, and most of the families, people were at home, things were closing down, shutting down. The city was quieting down. Whereas today, things have changed very dramatically. And in most places in Yerushalayim, most places where people live, 12 at night, 1 p.m., there's hustle bustle, people going around, coming and going and everything. So that's an issue. That's a problem for people who live in the cities. It's not so easy to be able to find a time when things really quiet down. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues. Vegam, an additional requirement is tzrichim sheyia ha-hispoiridus b'mokoy meyuchad. It's very important that the person's hispoiridus should take place in a set place, a special place that he uses for that purpose, where he goes to have this direct communication with Hashem. Dahainu, Rabbeinu Zal says, preferably chutz mehoyir, outside of the city, meaning outside of the action, the hustle bustle, the noise, where it's very quiet. Bederech yechidi, in a secluded, private place. B'mokoyim she'ein hoilchem sham b'nei adam, in a place where people don't usually go there. Ki b'mokoyim she'hoilchem sham b'nei adam b'yoyim, because in places where people do visit there by day, Haroit v'machar oilam hazeh, and we're talking about people who specifically are involved in pursuing materialism. They're involved in gashmius, chasing after this world. Afal pi shekoeis enom hoelchem shom, even though at the time we're talking about, at 12 o'clock at night or 1 a.m., people are not walking there, still, afal pi kein, despite that, still, humevalvel gamkein ha-hispoiridus, the fact that during the daytime hours, people frequented this area, they walked in this area, and they moved around in this area, that makes it difficult for this area to be able to be used, even at night, as a place where a Jew can attain this bitul, this total connection to Hashem. And unfortunately, and therefore, ve'eino yochoy lehizbatel ulehikolo b'yisporach, the person will not be able to nullify themselves completely and plug in totally to Hashem. Al kein, therefore, tzorich sheyelech levadoi balayla, the person needs to go alone at night in a secluded place, baderech yechidi, b'mokoyim she'ein shamodem, in a place where people are not there at all. No one else is there, and again, preferably, where nobody, a place that people don't frequent even during the day. V'shom yelech v'yisboired, the person should go to that place and engage in this hispoiredus, this deep connection to Hashem, where a person is speaking to Hashem and really opening up totally to Hashem. V'yifane liboy, and empty out his heart, v'daitoy, and his mind, mikol iske oilam hazeh, of all materialistic things, of all worldly matters of this world, v'yivatel hakoil, nullify everything, negate everything, ad sheyizke lebechinas bitul ba'emes, to the point where the person experiences real bitul, total negating to Hashem, total blending in with and becoming one with Hashem. Now again, how does one do this? How does this actually happen? What should the person be talking about? Rabbein Zal says, Hainu, this means specifically, Shebatchila, in the beginning, Yarbe betfilois vesichois behispoidedus balaila baderech yechidi, the person should daven and speak to Hashem a lot at night in this private, secluded place, ad sheyizke levatel zeh hadavar, until the person succeeds in eliminating and getting rid of a particular negative character trait or a particular desire, wrong type of materialistic desire. For example, dahainu, levatel mido v'taiva zois, to eliminate a particular midah, a particular taiva. A person should work on that for a few days or a few weeks, whatever it takes. And once they've succeeded, v'achar kach yarbe oid b'hispoiredus hanal, and then the person should start again a whole round of hispoiredus, ad sheyevatel midah v'taiva acheres, until he succeeds in eliminating completely another evil desire, wrong type of desire, or a wrong type of character trait. V'chein yinhag zman rav behispoidedus. And so too, the person should continue doing this for a long period of time. Rabbein Zal is making it perfectly clear this is not fast food. This doesn't happen in a day or two. This takes persistence and consistency of a person really working on this again and again. Bazman hanal, at that specific time, ubamokoim hanal, and at that specific place. It's very important, if a person can, to be koveya, to establish a fixed time and a fixed location for this special meeting with Hashem. Ad sheyevatel hakoil, and the person should continue in this process until the person succeeds in getting rid of all of their taivois rois and midois rois, all of their wrong types of desires and wrong type of character traits.
Rabbi Maimon?
Yes?
Is there a specific inyan of why it has to be done verbally? How does verbal lead to bittul? What is the connection?
Very important question. Human beings are called medaber. What defines the human race versus animals, plants, and inanimate objects, we are called medaber. Everything about us is related. Hashem created the world, we're told, with dibur. Bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu, ubaruach kipiv kol tzivam. Hashem maintains the world with dibur. And therefore, and we know that Hashem created the world in such a way where He left room for us to participate. He created the world incomplete. We've spoken about this many times. Asher bara Elohim la'asois, it says at the end of creation, that Hashem created the world la'asois, to do, to make. Who should do? We should do. Hashem did not create bread. He did not create clothing. He did not create man complete. On the eighth day after a child is born, we go in and we do a bris milah. We complete the child by removing the orla, the whole process. So therefore, just like Hashem's creation of the world and maintaining of the world is done through dibur, the most important way that we participate in tikkun ha'olam, in rectifying the world, is through dibur, through speech. There are many psukim to support this. One of the psukim, oidia emunascha befi, I declare my faith in Hashem with my mouth. And again, there are many other psukim that Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal bring throughout their sforim, putting tremendous emphasis on this. And this, regarding this specifically, it's very important, because the term hisboidus, I believe we mentioned this earlier, in different books and in different communities, means different things. In some places, hisboidus means meditation, and it's a mental thing. And in other places, hisboidus means reciting mantras, you know, things like that. But Rabbeinu Zal's definition of hisboidus refers specifically to a person speaking to Hashem, and there's several categories of what we speak to Hashem about. In this chapter, he addresses some of that. Okay? Sure. Let's continue. Now, Rabbeinu Zal adds, V'yachar kach, and after, V'yachar kach, mevatlan gam zeh, and afterwards a person nullifies the second character trait, and the third, ad sh'lo nishar mimenu klum, until there's nothing left. There's nothing left to negate anymore, number one. There's nothing left to get rid of anymore. And also, there's nothing left of the person. The person has negated their self completely. And we'll see in a moment what that means more. Pirush, Rav Nosson Zal adds a little bit of clarification here. A line before this, we said the person should continue doing this for a long time, ad shi'avatel hakoil, until the person succeeds in eliminating all the things that need to be eliminated. And then Rabbeinu Zal adds, V'achar kach, and after the person eliminated everything, Adayan nishar mimenu ezedovar, there still is something left of the person. V'achar kach mevatlen gamzeh. So therefore then, they have to go in and eliminate that also, ad shelo nishar mimenu klum, until there's nothing left of the person. The person has negated themselves completely. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain these last two lines. Pirish, what Rabbeinu Zal means here is, ki yochoil lihiyois, it's quite possible that achar shebitel kol hatayvois umidois rois, that after a person worked on themselves, and they worked at this, and they succeeded in overcoming and eliminating completely every single one of their evil desires and every single one of their negative character traits, they went down the list one by one and knocked them all out completely over a period of years, let's say, after the person did all of that, adayan nishar mimenu klum, there is still something left of the person. He has not negated himself. He hasn't eliminated the I am, I made, he hasn't eliminated that. Hainu, the hainu, shadayin loibite legamri hageus vahagasus. The person has not yet completely eliminated the arrogance and the ego. Ad shenechshav be'enov le'ezedover. So that he still considers himself a somebody, a something. V'alkein tzrichin lehisyageya, and therefore the person now has to really go to work and really put in tremendous effort, ulaharbois bahispoidedus hanal, and to really have a large amount of hispoidedus focusing on this topic, eliminating the I, eliminating the arrogance, the somebody, ad shelo yishor mimenu klum, until there is nothing left of him. I am nothing. Like Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Kohen were able to say, v'nachnu mo, we are nothing. Sheyir bebechinas mo be'emes. So that the person should really be nothing. Ad sheyizke lebechinas bitul bo'emes. And then the person achieves real bitul, real complete negating oneself, becoming one with Hashem. Vazai kishezoche lebitul bemes. And when a Jew accomplishes this, when a person puts in the effort, the days and the weeks and the months and the years to work on themselves, to work on their different character traits and keep improving, trying to improve. And a person has ups and downs in this. Some days they're doing better, some days they're doing worse. Sometimes they think they've eliminated something, and suddenly their old friend is back to haunt them. They thought they got rid of anger, this, that. They, for about a month, they didn't get angry, and then suddenly something sets them off, and they lose their temper. But this requires constant consistency, working at it and working at it. And then Rabbein Azal says, the grand finale is to eliminate gaiva. That's the most important thing. And that's what really closes the deal for the person to be zeche, to become one with Hashem, to be zeche to that incredible level. Vazai kishezeche lebitul be'emes. And then when a person achieves true bitul, vazai nichlal nafshei b'sharoshei. And by doing that, his soul becomes totally one with Hashem, dahainu with its source, meaning dahainu boyis barach with Hashem, shehu mechuyev hametzias, Hashem who is mechuyev hametzias, Hashem who must exist, who always existed and will exist, and is called mechuyev hametzias. Once a person achieves that, azay nichlal kol ha'olam im nafshoy b'sharoshoy, then the entire world, the entire creation, the entire universe, and everything in it, which was created for us, which was created for the Jewish people, for each and every one of us. And it's wired to us, it's connected to us. When this person becomes one with Hashem, through him, the entire world plugs in to Hashem, to this Chiyuv HaMetzius. Ki HaKoil Tolui Boi Konal. Because everything is dependent on and is connected to this person, to the individual who is zeiche to achieve this bitul on the highest level. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, tzaddikim of that caliber. And again, this relates to each and every one of us on our level. Vazai nase kol ha'olam al yodoi bebechinas mechuyev hametzias. And when this is accomplished, then the entire world and all the worlds become part of Mechiyuv HaMetzius. Then they become, they must exist. They have to exist. They become one with Hashem who has to exist.
Rabbi Maimon?
Yes, please.
Outside of the Makor he's going to quote in the Mishnah in just a few minutes, of Haner Belayla, where else is there a Makor, puts from just general Lasuach Basada and Tvila, where is there a marker that equals destruction of the Buddhist realms?
If we look at our Tfilois, in other words, even in the standard Tfilois, Shachris, Mincha, Arvis, in Tehillim, these are some of the things we ask Hashem for. Yehi rotzen lefanecha shatatzileini hayoim, that Hashem should save me from kas, from this, from that, you know. Even the standard Tfilois have that. Dovra Melech says, Va'ani kirva selikim lito. You know, he's mispalel for kirva selikim, to come close to Hashem. The way that the Torah, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, and all the Sifrei Musar define kirva selikim is, it's eliminating the ra inside myself and increasing the toiv. Hashem is toiv. And the more that we eliminate the ra inside of us, and the more we improve and increase the toiv, the more becoming Toiv Hashem Lakoil. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Tikkun Ezor says, in Mispar Koton is Bigamatria Toiv. Yud is 1, He is 5, Vav is 6, and He is 5, 17 Toiv. So the more that we find ourselves in a world, because Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov Vora, that forced a situation, it created a situation, where inside of each and every one of us, there's Toiv and Ra. There's a battle going on between Yetzer Toiv and Yetzer Hara. And the more that we work on ourselves, we try to empower the Yetzer Toiv and to diffuse and eliminate the Yetzer Hara. If you look again in our tefillos, in the standard tefillos, that's a major part of it, right?
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm curious to know why the prescription is it's got to be a night when everything is quiet and it's got to be, you know.
The answer is the term bitul, because in order to achieve this, a person has to make a certain incredible connection to Hashem. I'll give you an example. Sometimes you have a wire. You want to plug a wire into something, and you plug it in, and nothing happens. And somebody who's a professional looks at it, and he says, one second, you have to clean off the contacts. You didn't notice, but there's a little bit of dirt there that you can hardly even see. A person other than a professional looks at it, doesn't, no, it looks clean to me. It's not clean. Let me show you. And they take the right kind of cloth, and they wipe the contacts real well, then they put it in, suddenly everything starts going on. You follow? So we're being shown that, number one, the schmutz inside of the person, the taivois rois and midois rois, those, and the averis of a person, those are obstacles. Those serve as obstacles, barriers, mechitzois, from coming close to Hashem and connecting to Hashem. So in order to really come close to and connect Hashem, a person has to eliminate all of those things, number one. Number two, the issue of kavana, concentration, that the person's mind, brain, and heart should be totally focused on Hashem and the words coming out of their mouth. You follow? And for that, Rabbein Azal is telling us, it's about timing and location. That timing makes a difference, and location. Lahavdil, lahavdil, lahavdil. When they want to make a movie, they know they travel sometimes to certain places and they'll spend millions of dollars to go to a particular location because, again, this it requires a certain type of silence, it requires a certain type of atmosphere, it requires a certain type of coloring, whatever it is. Lahavdil, Rabbein Azal is teaching us, Dveikus to Hashem. Dveikus to Hashem requires this complete concentration. This is like the Shulchan Aruch when it introduces the topic of Shmon Esrei. It tells us Chasidim Horishonim used to achieve Hispashtus Hagashmius, right? That's Shulchan Aruch, Horachayim. That in going into Shmon Esrei, that's how they did it in the old days. And again, the Shulchan Aruch is telling this to us, for us to know that that's the ultimate. And each and every one of us has to strive on our level to get as close to that as we possibly can in order to achieve this beetle, in order for the tefillah to be most effective, in order for the bleach that we're using to do its magic trick. Here again, laundry, you're doing laundry. Person does laundry, cold, there's cold water, hot water. Certain fabrics in hot water destroys it completely, and certain fabrics, unless you're using hot water, even if you're using quality soap, it won't do it. And again, if you overload, there's all kinds of requirements in order for the formula to really accomplish what it needs to totally. And here Rabbein Azal is teaching us, and again, everything he's saying is based on Gemara's, Zohar HaKadosh, Shulchan Aruch, Sifrei Musar. He's just pulling it all together and presenting it so clear. Please, you wanted to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. His prescription, in general, Bederech Chasidus, meaning outside of Breslov.
Yes.
Zayar, et cetera, et cetera. Is this Mukubal, this same prescription that Hisbodus, late at night, like, et cetera, Chatzai, that this is, he's not saying a big chiddush, Rabbi Nachman is not saying a chiddush here, so Rabbi Nachman is the one who's bringing this to the fore?
The answer is that both, meaning in the Zohar HaKadosh, in so many different places, it speaks about getting up in the middle of the night to daven and learn. That's written in the Zohar HaKadosh about tefillah. Number one, saying the special tefillahs of Tikkun Chatzos, mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and a person crying over their own churbanos, their own destruction, and trying to achieve kirvas elikim. And the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal and the Sifrei Kabbalah emphasize that that's prime time, that second half of night is the ultimate. And what a person does at that time, I just saw it recently in one of the Mefarshim on the Chayyadim, the Tosfos Chaim, quotes a Sefer Seder Hayoim, which is one of the Sfarim which was written about in the 1500s. A lot of our Shulchan Aruch is based on that. He's quoted, the Mishnah Berurah quotes him all over the place, Seder Hayoim. So he says there that 1 hour from Chatzos till morning is the equivalent of many hours during the day. So again, there are Sfarim that give us an idea as to the incredible significance of that, of the timing. That timing, number one. Number two, the Torah says, a pasuk in Chumash, Vayetze Yitzchok Losuach Basode. Yitzchok Avinu went out to speak to Hashem, Losuach, in the field. And again, there are many, many other sources about Chana. When Chana spoke to Hashem, it says her lips were moving, but there wasn't any sound coming out, you know, a certain dveikus, the term. And Rabbeinu Zal throughout Likut Imran clarifies and that the word tefillah itself means dveikus, a very deep connection to Hashem that requires a disconnection from all the diversions from Hashem, which means from the physical world, from materialism, from gashmius, from wrong thoughts in machshava, dibur, and maisa. We have, for example, the laws in Shulchan Aruch that when davening, a person is not allowed to hold anything in their hand at the time that they're davening. Why? It's a distraction. The emphasis is that true tefillah requires total focus, and the more we can take that to higher and higher levels, the more the focus is perfected, the more effective the tefillah is, the more it accomplishes the most important thing that's supposed to accomplish, which is merging with dveikus to Hashem. Any questions?
Yeah.
Please.
The concepts of making a place for Hashem to dwell, it has to be away from where the Shadim are or have come, the animals have come by. And also the concept of Sitra Achra, which has to happen after midnight because that's when it is at its lowest point of oppressing us, so that we should do it after midnight. Any comments on the Sitra Achra or the Shadim or anything like that? Any kind of comments you'd like to make?
We're told, the Zohar Kodesh tells us, that during the first half of the night, that's a time when the Sitra Achra and the Klipos are most prevalent and powerful. Versus from midnight on is a time where they are weakened. Number one. Number two, I'm reminded, there's a place in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal focus regarding the issue of speaking, how just by speaking to Hashem, that's what accomplishes the Tikkun Amidos and everything. Rav Nosson Zal in one place addresses the famous Gemara that says that a person who says Ashrei, Tehillah LeDavid, 3 times a day is guaranteed that they're a Ben Olam Haba. So Rav Nosson Zal asks, what's so special about that? And the Gemara asks, what's so special about that? The Gemara asks, should we say because it has the entire Aleph Beis? So what? We have another chapter in Tehillim that has the Aleph Beis 8 times. Should we say because it has the Tefillah for Parnasa, Poseach Es Yodecho Umasbi Alechol Chai Rotzaim? So what? There's another chapter, Noisein Lechem L'chol Bosar K'yolim Chazdoim. So the Gemara answers, it's both. It's the fact that this chapter of Tehillim has both of these things in it. Number one, it has the entire Aleph Beis. And number two, it has the message that Parnosa is only from Hashem. That's what makes this so special, that a person who says this 3 times a day is guaranteed Olam Haba. So Rav Nosson Zal asks, again, so what? That's everything, that covers everything. And he explains that again, Hashem created the world with speech, with Dibur. so that everything in this world is connected to speech, to words and letters, everything. Every doimem tsomea chaimedaber. When we commit a sin, we're damaging the letters, the words that were used to create those objects and that continue to keep them alive. Therefore, the tikkun ha'olam, the greatest tikkun ha'olam, is dependent on dibur, diburim of Torah and tefillah. That's the tikkun ha'olam. But Rav Nosson Zal says, so it sounds pretty easy. You mean all I have to do is speak words of Torah, speak words of tefillah? The answer is yes. However, there's the most powerful diversion that has 99% of the world wrapped up and diverted from focusing on this. And that diversion is called parnasa, livelihood, supporting oneself, money, everything tied into that. That's the most powerful diversion that causes people, that takes people away from spending the time and effort that they should be spending on Torah and Tefillah, Diburim of Torah and Tefillah. Therefore, the fact that this chapter of Tehillim combines both, number one, it has the entire Aleph Beis in it. Number two, it delivers the message, it reminds the person clearly that Parnosa is only from Hashem. That all eyes are turning to looking to Hashem for Parnosa. And you give a person what he needs at the right time. Rav Nosson Zal writes there that a Jew who will focus on these two things, they'll focus, number one, on speaking words of Kedusha, which means both Torah and Tefillah. And in Tefillah, one of the most important forms of Tefillah is the Hispoidus that we're speaking about here, number one. And number two, the person will always remind themselves that Parnosa is from Hashem. Parnosa is from Hashem. And therefore, if I need to put in time and effort, I'll put in some time and effort, but I will definitely not allow it to rob me of spending as much time as I possibly can on a daily basis speaking Diburim of Kedusha, the Aleph Bay, covering the entire Aleph Bay with Torah and Tefillah. Again, I hope this is another example of showing, you know, really clearly and emphatically how important the Dibur is in Tikkun Ha'olam.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Please.
The question is like this. You have a guy who lives in 1800 Ukraine in a town on the edge of this, you know, he has a town and he lives right near the woods. And he's zeicha to this, what Rav Nachman is describing as the highest form of asparagus. Mm. Or a guy lives in Tzfat. And he's able to do this, right?
Yes.
Then you have another guy who lives in New York City, 2017, and let's say Manhattan. And him, he says, you know, let's say he's very healthy, and he says, I can't be to the highest form of spiders, but let's say I'm driving home at 6 p.m., and I talk to Hashem like a friend talks to a friend in my car 5 minutes every day. The thing I'm trying to bring up is that I know that if this is taught to people, it's going to be another idea of a Torah that's like, okay, so spiritus is for tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. So but my question is, what's it worth? What's that 5 minutes worth in comparison to this spiritus, which is in a specific place and in a place far out from the city and all that? Those two spiritus compared to each other.
Very good question. The answer is that on one hand, it's worth a lot. Rabbi Nassal here is defining an ideal circumstance, an ideal scenario, an ideal place, an ideal time, and everything. He makes it perfectly clear in other places. This is why it's so important. You can't take one page of a sefer and learn that one page. And that, look what he says here. You know that you have to read the page before and the page after and the entire sefer. Rabbi Nazar says in another place, you know, about a field. He talks about a field, and a field is not a place where nobody goes during the day. They plant it, they harvest it, etc. And in other places, Rabbi Nazar speaks about a person doing this in their own room. Rabbi Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nazar said that each and every person should try to have a room in their home, which is their Avodas Hashem room, the room that they use for Hispoidus, and for learning, and for making this deep connection to Hashem. So this is one of, that's why I said this, when if you listen carefully, when we started the shiur today, I said this is one of the best ways of doing it. One of the best ways. It's not the only way, number one. And number two, for a person to Rabbeinu Zal says in another place, that a person should have, should try for a minimum of an hour a day. I've heard from all of the leaders of Breslov, the Zekenim of Breslov, that a person shouldn't dare start with that, because it's almost impossible to start like that. A person should start with 5 or 10 minutes a day and work at that for a period of time, possibly a month or two or more, till they get established, and then try to gradually increase it and build up to try to get to an hour a day, that type of thing. So it's definitely a process. And if there isn't a field, if there isn't this most private location, when we read about Rabbeinu Zal, there was a time in his life that he did this, and there was a time in his life that he had his spodidus in the privacy of his house, in his own room. And Rav Nosson Zal also, we see clearly that depending on circumstances where he was, he would do the spodidus where he could. But this is one of the most ideal places and times for some people to be able to achieve this beetle. Sure. Let's continue back inside. The Ato, and now Rav Nosson Zal says, Tire Pile Plois. You'll see something incredible, incredible, incredible. Ech kol ze mavur ato b'hamishnanal bayer heitev. How what Rabbeinu Zal teaches us in this chapter on Likutei Moran is really presented in that Mishnah and Pirkei Avos in a clear, beautiful way. Vezehu. And watch now how we're going to interpret and explain that Mishnah. Haneor balayla, a person who stays awake at night, kipshutoi. That means literally, person who's up at night. Dahainu shehuneor balayla. Now note, in Sifrei Kabbalah we're told that the first half of the night is called Leil, the second half of the night is called Laila. So again, preferably, we're talking about the second half of the night, from Chatzos on. If a person can't or whatever, they are allowed to do this in the first half of the night. They're allowed to do it morning, afternoon, evening, whenever the person can. Umisboideid, and the person spends time alone with Hashem. Umefaresh sichosoi beinoi levein koinoi, and he really speaks. He pours out his heart. He tells Hashem everything he really would like to and needs to tell Hashem. V'hamahalech baderech yichidi, and the person goes on a path alone. Haynu kanal, as we said earlier, shoholech baderech yichidi daiko, that it's preferred that he go in a place alone, meaning a place where other people don't frequent it, even during the day. B'mokim she'ein b'nei adam ho'elchesham. The ideal is for it to be a place where people usually don't frequent there. Ki azai hu ikar shleimus ha'hispoiridus. Because that's when and how a person could achieve perfection, ideal hispoiridus. Balayla, at night, ubederech yechidi daika, and in a totally secluded place like this, where, again, people aren't even there during the day. Ki oz daika yecholen lovoi lebechinas bitul kanal. Because in that environment, at that time, and in such a place, it's possible, it's more possible and more likely for a Jew to be able to achieve this bitul, to disconnect completely from the materialistic world, from the physical world, and make the most powerful connection possible to Hashem. V'zehu, and that's what he means in the next words, u'mefane liboy levatola. He empties out his heart to batola. Batola means to emptiness. Dehainu shemefane liboy mikol iskei hoylam hazeh. This means that the person empties his heart of any involvement in the materialistic world. And why does he tries to shut down all the connections, not thinking about food, not thinking about money, not thinking about anything in the materialistic world. And why is he doing this? Livatolo, in order to achieve this bitul, kedei liskoyes lebchinas bitul kanal. V'oz zoiche sheyuchlal nafshoy b'mechuyev hametzias kanal. By doing this, he can achieve that his soul will be connected to, plug in completely to Hashem, who is called Mechuyev HaMetzias, Hashem who must exist, who always existed and always will exist and must exist. Vazay nichlolin kol ha'olamos im nafshoy b'mechuyev HaMetzias kanal. And then all of the worlds and everything that was created for us, for Klal Yisrael, for a Jew, all of the worlds also plug in together with his soul into Hashem, into this Mechuyev HaMetzias. They also become part of this Mechuyev HaMetzias, that they must exist. V'zehu, and this is why the Mishnah concludes there, Harezeh Mischayev Benafshoy. It doesn't say Mechayev, it doesn't say his soul becomes Chiyuv, it says Mischayev, which means he gets others to be chayav, shenichlal kol ha'olam bebechinas mechuyev hametzias im nafshoy. This person causes the entire world and all of the worlds to become part of this chiyuv hametzias, together with his soul. Kal yedei ha'hispoydedus hanal, because through this type of hispoydedus, zochu lebechinas bitul, the person is able to achieve bitul. Ad shen nichlal nafshoy bechiyuv hametzias, to the point where his soul becomes part of this chiyuv hametzias. Vaydeze nichlal kol ha'olam im nafshoy bechiyuv hametzias kanal. And through this, the entire universe, all the world, and all of the worlds, also join his soul in becoming part of this chiyuv hametzias. Venase nafshoy bechol ha'olam bebechinas mechuyuv hametzias. V'zehu hareze mischayev. He is mischayev the entire world, benafshoy, together with his soul, to be part of the chiyuv hametzias. Now, interestingly, the presentation we had till now was Rab Nosson Zal's wording, how he wrote down this shir of Rabbeinu Zal. Now he says that afterwards, he saw Rabbeinu Zal's notes that Rabbeinu Zal had on this shir, and he wants to give us that also. There are four places in Likut Imran where Rab Nosson Zal gives both versions, the written version, the notes that Rabbeinu Zal had written for himself, and Rab Nosson Zal's elaboration and clarification of it. This one is the only one where he presents his version first, and then Rabbeinu Zal's. A possible reason for this is because if he presented Rabbeinu Zal's version, we would have it would be much less clear than by first presenting his version here, and then we see Rabbeinu Zal's version, we can understand it much better. We'll go through this. V'heilichol loshen Rabbeinu Zal mi'atorah zois. Now we're going to present Rabbeinu Zal's exact words. Shekosvo betachlis hakitzur, where he wrote this shir in the utmost of shortness, very brief, very short. Hamahalech baderech yechidi haneir balayla. He quotes the Mishnah, but not even in the order of the Mishnah. Da, you should know, sheikar habitul, that the essence of bitul is, meaning sheodam mevatel yeshusoy, that the person negates his own essence, his own person, venase ayin, and he becomes nothing. V'nichlal ba'achdus Hashem Yisborach, and thereby he becomes one with Hashem. He plugs in totally with the oneness of Hashem. Ein ze ala ela al yedei hispoydedus. That can only be achieved through hispoydedus. V'ha'hispoydedus tzorich mokoim uzman meyuchad. Hispoydedus requires a fixed place and a fixed time. so that the distractions of this world should not disturb him, should not block him from achieving this type of connection to Hashem. The hazman, the time, is hu balayla, is at night. Hainu haner balayla. That's why the Mishnah says to be awake at night. She'oz hakoyel yeshenim. That's when everyone is sleeping. The hamokoim, and the place for this is hu bederech yechidi, in a private, secluded place. V'loy bederech harabim, not a place which many people frequent. Shelo yafsikenu evrei drachim. For starters, said people shouldn't disturb him. People shouldn't be walking by at the time or going by or being involved. Eladaiko bederech she'ein rabim hoil chesham. But rather, specifically, it should be a place where people don't frequent. Shom yelech v'yispoideid. That's where the person should go and have this hispoidedus. V'hainu, and this is what the Mishnah means when it says, v'amahalech bederech yechidi. He goes on a path alone. Alone. Nobody else is there at the time. V'oz yochoy lefanois liboy mikoil v'koil. Then the person will be able to empty his heart, to detach his heart completely from everything in this world, in the materialistic world. V'yochoy lovoy lebitul kol hayeshus. And he can actually get to a level of eliminating his whole person, his whole essence, and become nothing, nothing, nothing. V'hainu, this is what the Mishnah means when it says, v'amefane liboy levatolo. He empties out, he clears out his heart completely, levatolo, in order to achieve this bitul. V'oz kishen is bate legamri. And when the person eliminates all of this completely, azai hu nichlal ba'achdus Hashem yisborach, then he becomes one with the oneness of Hashem. V'oz hu bo lebechinas mechuyav. And then he achieves the madrega where he also must exist. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechuyav hametzias. Because Hashem is called mechuyav hametzias. Hashem must exist. V'chol advorim, everything else, heim efshar hametzias. They can exist and cannot exist. When a person negates their own gashmius completely, and they get rid of all of the obstacles that are blocking this connection with Hashem, they get rid of all of their averois, and all their taivas rois, and midos rois, and are able to plug into this oneness of Hashem, azai hu yoytze mebechinas efsher, then that person leaves the category of possibly existing, v'nichlal b'mechuyav, and he becomes part of Hashem, part of what must exist. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the Mishnah means when it says, hareze mischayev b'nafshoy. He makes his own soul become part of that chiyuv hametzias. As you can see in these notes, Rabbeinu Zal presented it very briefly. It seems when he gave the shir, he elaborated more on it. And Rav Nosson Zal heard it and wrote down the full elaboration. When Rabbeinu Zal spoke, Rav Nosson Zal wrote all of that down. Any questions?
Rabbi, yes. Rabbi Maimon, there was a question. In the context of his hispodidus, especially in seclusion or in a wilderness or something, is this something that we would encourage or would be for women, or would be different than for men?
Usually, women different for men. Kol kvoido basmelech penima. The Torah says that usually a woman is supposed to be inside, not outside, preferably. In this case also, unless it's a place that's really 100% safe and quiet, and again, rare exceptions. Before we take more questions, again, continuing. Dovid HaMelech, the Torah says, did this under the covers of his bed. Asche bechol laila mitosi. David HaMelech says he didn't go to the field. He did this in his bed. And there are the Medrash and many Sforim write that this is one of the reasons why the Ovois HaKdoshim, Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, and the Shivaroyim were all shepherds. Because that's what enabled them to spend quality time out of the city, in nature, you know, in the fields, in the forest, in the wilderness, where they were able to have this seclusion, this privacy with Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov, of course, it's written that he did this, you know, and other tzaddikim also, for sure. The Chofetz Chaim, it's written that by him again, he did it at night. The Cheshbon HaNefesh that he did was at night specifically, in the privacy of his room. And there are some of his relatives and some of his students who, in rare opportunities, were able to overhear him speaking to Hashem and speaking to himself. Yisrael Meir, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where do you think you're going to be food for worms soon? You know, this type of hispoidedus. Any other questions, please? Comments?
Rabbi Maimon, how does Limud Torah either fit into this, achieve what this achieves, or complement, getting rid of Yeshus, is the idea of being plugging into Hashem?
Excellent.
Everything else into Hashem.
Excellent. The first line in Likutei Moran, in this Sefer, we're up to chapter 52. Chapter 1, line 1, begins with the words, Da ki al yidei ha-Torah niskablin kol ha-tfilois v'chol ha-bakoshois. Rabbeinu Zalfir says that in order to make room in Hashem's heart for your tefillah, for Hashem to accept and receive your words, you need the Torah. The Torah is what gives a person chen. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes a pasuk, Mesir oznoi mishmoya Torah, a person who turns his ear away from listening to Torah, gam tfilosoi toeva. His tefillah is also despicable. Toeva is one of the worst words in Torah, in Judaism, that we could use about something. And again, in order to know what's a taiva, what's a midara, how could a person know what's a taiva, what's a midara, what's a midatova, what does Hashem want from us, what does Hashem want us to do, what does He want us not to do, what does He want us to think, not to think, to say, not to say? The only way you could know that is by learning a lot. Learning Chumash, Tanakh, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Medrashim, Zohar HaKodesh, Kisvei Arizal, Sifrei Chasidus, Sifrei Musar, every one of those books enlightens the person to know what the definition of good is, what the definition of bad is.
Rabbi Nachman says that Torah itself is not a connection with Hashem, it's that tefillah, Torah is a preparation.
Torah is also a connection to Hashem. I wouldn't say it's not a connection to Hashem. It is definitely a connection to Hashem. But what Rabbeinu Zal does say is that the Iker Dveikus, the highest level of a deep, deep connection to Hashem, is tefillah, the word tefillah. And the Torah prepares a person for that kind of tefillah, to know what to daven for and how to daven, etc. There's a lot of discussion on this. In Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Rav Nosson Zal addresses this question. He brings several sources, several places in the Torah where the Torah gives the impression that Torah is higher than tefillah, and he gives other sources which show that tefillah is higher than Torah. The Gemara says in one place, "Valavai sheyispalalu kol ayon kuloi." If only people could daven all day, and there are other sources. And Rav Nosson Zal explains there that there are tefillos which are on a lower level than Torah, and there are tefillos that are equal to and higher than Torah. So there's both. There's both.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes, please.
So we know that intent can be almost as powerful as performing the mitzvah itself. If someone sets in a lot of time late at night and their intent is unbelievable, next thing you know, Yetzer Hara hits them, they're sleeping. And then they wake up in the midst and they say, wow, you know, I feel defeated. At the same time, I don't know what to say at this moment. Just that quiet time, is that just as useful as if I would continue the dialogue?
The answer is, first choice is the dialogue. The speaking is very important, very beneficial. Rabbeinu Zal does say, keep in mind, this is one chapter in Likutei Moran that speaks about hispoidedus. There are about another 20. We're going to have another 20 chapters on this topic. So what we learned today is not the total course on hispoidedus. Rabbeinu Zal does say that there are times that a person can't speak. And he says just being in the room or in the field alone and wanting to speak and not is still very special and very important and very meaningful. And then he says that sometimes if a person can't find the words, just to say, Hashem, Hashem help me, to repeat that 1,000 times is also very meaningful, very effective, very special. There are levels and levels and variety. In today's shiur, we covered a certain important, very important message about Hespoidus. One of my Rebbe's, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Levracha, when he spoke to people about Hespoidus, he definitely put emphasis on this point, which many people forget about, or they don't emphasize, that it is preferred for a person, for it to be a fixed time and a fixed location. That takes it to another level. Just like the Gemara speaks about being koiveya itim for Torah, that if a person learns one day at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the other day at 11 o'clock, and the other day at 6 o'clock, it doesn't compare in any way. It's important. It's very good. It's a mitzvah. But it does not compare to a person who says, from now on, from 9 to 11, I'm learning. And I don't want to know from anything else, unless it's mamish, an emergency. This is my time for learning. Period. Exclamation point. And the same thing is being mokom kavua. The Gemara speaks about a mokom kavua for tefillah. So it's very much preferred for a breslover, a person who's following Rabbi Nachman's derech, to try to have such a thing whenever they can. A fixed time, a fixed location. This is where I meet with Warren Buffett's boss, the guy who writes his checks. Yes.
The derech halibud, I mean, obviously Rabbi Nachman here is flipping the whole chazal on its head and saying the opposite of what the pshat is.
Correct.
So, how do we, you know, there are chassidish boards and their own Torahs. What is Rabbi Nachman's understanding of how this works? I don't know, but I doubt anyone ever said this pshat, this explanation of a mishnah before Rabbi Nachman. So,
The answer is, if you will learn Chumash, Gemara, and Halacha, you will find many cases, many examples in the Gemara of things like this, where you look at a Pasuk and it would seem at first glance to be talking about something negative, it's mentioning something negative, and the rabbis in the Gemara interpret it to be a very positive thing, and vice versa. There are some people that don't realize the authenticity of Chassidus Bichlal. There are observant Jews, there are Rabbonim, who make fun of Gematrias. Now we know that there are laws in Shulchan Aruch that are based on Gematria. When a person says, I will not drink orange juice, I hereby declare I will not drink orange juice. The Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, says that means he's talking about 30 days. What do you mean, 30? Well, you pick that out of a hat? No. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It says, Yihyeh, will be. And the Gemara says, will be. Yud-Heh is bigematria 30. What do you mean? The Chassidim crawled into the Gemara? They got some of their stuff into the Gemara? No. This is Tanoim in the Gemara. This is pre-Chassidic days. Gematrias. And again, the Torah teaches us that there are Shivim Ponim LaTorah. The Gemara says, Elu Vo'elu, that when one rabbi says this is kosher, and another rabbi says this is treif, the Gemara says they are both the word of Hashem. Elu Vo'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. These are both literally the words of the living Hashem. And it's brought that the first letters of Divrei Elokim Chaim make up the word Echod. These two differing opposite opinions, which any child and any adult and any normal person will tell you that yes and no are not the same, right? The Gemara says wrong. Yes and no are one in certain cases. How? Sit down, learn Chumash, learn Gemara. You will see that again in Torah, in Ruchnius, everything is relative. And it's possible for day and night to be one. I'll give you an example. I just saw this today in the Tikkuni Zohar. We make a bracha in the morning. We say, Yoitzer Oyer Uvoyre Choshech. Hashem creates light and He creates darkness. Question, which is higher, light or darkness? Is there anybody out there who would say that darkness is higher or better than light? Now, the Zohar HaKodesh asks, we have a rule, Malin Bakodesh, that we always go up. So why would it say Yotzer Or? We're talking about Hashem. Hashem creates light and he creates darkness. Why would it put the light first and then the darkness? And the Zohar Kodesh answers that the darkness here doesn't mean dark. It doesn't mean darkness, you know, in the terms of absence of light. It means so high a level of light where it's hidden from us. It's secluded from us. He quotes the pasuk, Yoshes Choshech Sisroi. The hiddenness of Hashem is referred to as Choshech, meaning that higher, the light that's so bright that we can't look at it because it's so bright, that's what it's referring to. So Yotzer refers to the Olam HaYetzira, which is the world of the angels. Bore refers to the Olam HaBriya, which is the throne of Hashem, which is a billion times higher. And yet Yotzer is referred to as Oyer, Bore is referred to as Choshech. You follow?
Thank you.
Sure.
Amen.
And again, I'm telling you, the Mishnah says, "V'loi am ha'oretz chassid." That very often, those people who mak chassidus, or the Torah of chassidus, it's simply they haven't learned enough Gemara and Mishnah and Halacha. Because if they would learn, they would see clearly in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, that chassidus is very grounded, very grounded. Especially the Likud Yamran, these Sfarim. To be continued. All the, have a wonderful week and a good Geben Shchodesh, everybody.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your time.
Sure. All the best.